Welcome to Apple Pie Playground, where we serve up slices of healing for the heart. Stay tuned for a journey of transformation back to the divine inner child. Can you come out and play today?
Welcome, everybody, to Apple Pie Playground, where we let our inner child out to play for a while on Sunday afternoons. I'm your host, Valerie, and shout out to BBS Radio. Thank you for all you do, BBS. And folks, I'm not sure if you know, but BBS is having a funding drive right now. So support your favorite shows by supporting BBS and their funding drive. It might be worth remembering that our inner child represents the authentic self. Deep down inside of us, it is the consciousness that comes into the physical body. It's what we call our essential selves that connect our spirits to source consciousness. And so some folks like to say our higher selves are something of the divine inner child. And so let's be our inner child for a little while this afternoon as we spend our time together here on the playground. And today, we might want to take a seat somewhere on a swing or find the foot of a slide so we can get real comfortable on the playground this afternoon, enough to talk about a few pressing ideas that are coming our way and coming really fast. So, are we prepared for the radical responsibilities that come with our human liberation? And I really, really hope there are folks who know what I'm talking about out there. Those responsibilities that come with our physical freedoms and our spiritual enlightenment. I mean, really, really prepared. How many of us realize we're being liberated even as we speak? And I mean, literally. We are witnesses to world global liberation, friends. And, you know, it may not look like it yet where you are, but it is happening. And we are engaged in a massive energetic shift in consciousness right now, and for some time now, and for some time to come. And this is paving the way for a true evolution of humanity. And the thing is, friends, liberation as an idea is a matter for the heart, for heart energy. It's a matter for what is cosmic about us. It's a matter of what is sacred about us, because when we declare freedom as a conscious co-creator and child of God, that means something. Okay? We are declaring our celestial, energetic sovereignty. Okay? As humans creating a shared reality, it's as much a matter for the material experience we're having as anything else. And that means guiding our intentions with right action, right? We talk about it all the time, that manifesting good things is as much a matter of right action as it is the intentions behind them. And current events are no different. Right? As one who does not keep up with world events very well, I am not polished on the goings-on in your neighborhood or your state or your country. I probably don't know too much about the environment you're in right now. But that doesn't keep us from applying natural law to our good work of unifying together to create change, right? And created alongside those who might be still clueless about what is changing all around us. And that's okay, right? We cannot do the work for them. But we can enliven our own imaginations, right, with what animates our new Earth experience, right? And many of you are doing that. You are speaking into being a brand new world. Maybe you don't see it yet, but you are dreaming it and speaking it into reality and nurturing it into your hearts. And you know, we are so grateful for you. So keep watering the flowers in our garden of change, right? Because change is kind of hard for most of us. The brain feels fear when it senses change. And so we're reprogramming ourselves as we evolve, aren't we? As physical bodies with minds and spirits sharing space together. So just keep watering the flowers of our dreams, friends, and we'll become acclimated to change as a good thing. And so I want to talk today about what it takes, in my mind, to achieve the sovereign experience we're so excited about. Because for an alliance of the brave, the journey has been a hard one. Hard fought and hard won. And, you know, for us, we may see liberation as maybe something that drops into our laps, right? And we'll need to think about that and the gifts that have come with that kind of a blessing. And so how will we serve such a gift? How will we take up the call to secure the gift of freedom and protect what sovereignty looks like in a high vibration human experience, right? That we're responsible for creating, right? It's our upkeep, right? The self-sufficiency required for this beautiful experiment. It's all ours, isn't it? It's up to us. Can we get there through doubt and discouragement and laziness and mistrust and fear and apathy, right? Can we get anywhere as an enlightened state with those things in the forefront of our minds, the habits that keep us from engaging what we know is a better way? And I'm asking because I caught myself doing something most debilitating to a celestial spirit. Oh yes, most caustic to the higher mind. And that is self-sabotage. And it felt really yucky. And I really want to talk about it. I had occasion to be in the company of a few folks this week when we heard something profoundly disturbing on a digital broadcast forum. Okay, we were sitting there listening, heard something very, very disturbing. It was notably shocking, actually. And before I knew it, I was standing up in the small little crowd I was in. I was waxing patriotic about what we had just heard. And with every word, folks became increasingly animated with what I was saying. And, they were rocking and shaking their heads and adding their own dismay, to the mix. And at some tipping point there, okay, at some tipping point with all of that chaotic energy, the bottom fell out of the energy in the room, friends. The bottom fell out. We crashed the vibe in that room so hard. I had stirred unrest to such a degree that we were all experiencing a shared misery in a very low, dense vibration. And friends, it felt so icky. And I thought, what have I done to undermine my message of love and high energy lifestyle by what I've just said? How have I compromised my purpose by modeling a different way of behaving that's not consciously aware and vibrationally uplifting? And so it's a true story. And it's so yucky and so ouchy. And I was like, oh, wow, I gotta share. It's too perfect. It's so horrible. I have to share it. I cannot think of a worse enemy to a sovereign spirit than self-sabotage. Well, what is self-sabotage? I mean, let's talk about it because I felt it. Self-sabotage is a cycle in the mind. It's a cycle played out in the ego mind, right? Or we can see it as a downward kind of a spiral of energy as it decoheres or dissipates in the body as we drop into low vibrational thinking, right? There's a physical aspect to what's going on energetically. Now, we are spiritual and we are mindful and we are physical. All three expressions together in this body that we have. And energy pulls those three things together and assimilates them into a flow, right? Or a resonance. We're either cohering in energetic flow, which means harmonizing and synchronizing, or we're maintaining a balance, right? Maintaining a balance, or we're decohering, right? We're dissipating energy or collapsing it, for lack of a better word. Does that make sense? Energy moves, and we know this. So it's always moving in one way or another. And that's going to matter here in a minute as we understand more about self-sabotage. I did not know that self-sabotage is a defense mechanism, right? For the ego as a way to maintain control over feelings of unpredictability. I mean, who knew, right? I didn't know that. But it does make sense. So once the ego feels a pressing unpredictability in a situation, so it doesn't know how to manage the information coming in with the behaviors that need to go out, essentially. Okay? So what happens is the ego begins to self-isolate. And that means we stop being curious about a situation. We lose our objectivity, right? We shrink in to perception, right? And we take that step backwards into habitual behavior, and we undermine our own interests that way, right? We undermine our own goals, right? It's easy to do without conscious awareness refereeing the situation. Do we see that? It's all too easy to do. And what we get as a result is a lot of guilt, right? A lot of insecurity, a lot of it. And the thing is, we stop trusting ourselves, right? And our decisions. That's the worst part. Self-sabotage keeps us in a cycle of mistrust of ourselves. It's a thing, right? Which means the ego doesn't trust itself to protect itself. And we're in a mess then, right? We're in a mess then. And so I want to quote something. It's a good quote about the psychology of what's happening with self-sabotage, okay? And here's the quote. Self-sabotage erodes self-trust because your ego interprets repeated self-defeating actions as a failure of its primary job, keeping you safe. When you continuously undermine your own well-being or goals, your subconscious mind loses confidence in its ability to protect you from emotional pain or vulnerability. Okay, end quote. That was a long quote, a really, really good quote to define self-sabotage and the really horrendous things that happen. Right? That's pretty heavy, friends. It's pretty heavy. So when do we tend to self-sabotage? Well, generally, it's right at the moment things become less certain and most unpredictable. Right? It's the moment when we have to choose which way to go in a situation. Do we intervene and try to control a fearful, unpredictable situation? Or do we refuse the fear associated with the unknown and decide to consciously command calmness instead? Right? It's the three C's of avoiding self-sabotage. Consciously command calmness. Okay, we consciously command calmness, the three C's of avoiding self-sabotage. Write it down, very, very powerful, consciously commanding self-calmness, right? Commanding calmness. It's why stopping short before we react in a bad situation and giving ourselves pause and space to choose a different response, or maybe no response at all. That's why it's so critical. And that's what I did not do this week. I did not detach from what felt like a highly threatening situation, right? And I pushed back so defensively. It ended up being true self-sabotage. I became truly vulnerable in spirit with low vibrational behavior. And the ego went off on its own direction, right? And the I am that I am went right along with it. It sort of said, see you later, girl, what are you doing? I sabotaged my peace and my unity with creation consciousness. And I did it in a moment when my mouth beat my better judgment to the punch. And it was so perfectly horrible that I I had to talk about it. And that's okay, that it's not okay. And, we can make it okay again, right? We can course correct and create a better way forward, ever improving like we do toward our inherent perfection, right? Our true selves. And we'll get there. To remembering who we really are, right? We'll get there, friends. And that's at least what I told myself this week. And so, how do we get there? How do we get there? How do we refrain from the self-sabotaging inclinations of the ego mind? What might be the first thing we need to accept? Does it make sense that we have to realize that we are the driver of our lives as it unfolds? Every single part of it, right? We are the cause of the effects of our lives. Does that make sense? It's on us if we're handing somebody else the wheel, right? It's on us. We play the primary role in the unfolding of our experiences. Make sense? And does that mean we have to take a look at any little pull on our egos causing a victim mentality? Right? Are we allowing the unpredictable to catch us unprepared to tackle what comes at us? Right? In a way that makes us victims, maybe. And so, what is victim mindset? It sounds so terrible. Nobody likes to hear that, right? Because we don't like hearing things that make us feel so very, very judged. And the truth is, a victim mindset means we've already judged ourselves incapable of overcoming a difficult mental moment. Okay, that's our victim mindset. It's an ego trap, right? And when you get a chance, look up what's called the Cartman Drama Triangle. Okay, the Cartman Drama Triangle, which is what the ego does to keep an internal dialogue of control going. Okay, do a little research. It's very, very fascinating what happens to the mind when we cannot step outside and function as observers of our experiences. We get drawn in to the undercurrent of the ego, don't we? When we cannot function as observers of our experiences. And our mindfulness helps us do that. And every effort helps, right? And so, after my particular incident this week, I can say for certain, let's stay with our practices, friends. Right? And I suppose, in all honesty, a lot of our self-sabotage comes from unconscious or subconscious thoughts that we are having that are running our inner dialogue. And it's really a matter of catching ourselves in the act of fear. Or doubt, or resistance, or intolerance, right? And taking a closer look so that we're able to translate what's going on. We can sort of observe what's happening and translate a little better what the subconscious mind is showing us. Right? That we may not realize is controlling our behavior or our thinking. Right? Every opportunity to reflect and realign the subconscious with the conscious awareness that we might want to to learn to obtain at any given moment, that is a golden practice, friends, right? Realigning the subconscious with conscious awareness. It's a golden moment, right? And so what would you say is the central factor or element that actually changes everything about what we think and how we behave and what we do as we tame the unconscious mind, right? In order to avoid self-sabotage, what's the thing that will ensure that we avoid that kind of runaway ego? So when I researched these ideas this week, one word kept coming up over and over and over in the literature, and the synchronicity was ridiculous, actually. The word came up in classes I took, in conversations I had, in stuff I was reading. If we want a fuller, more consistent transition into conscious living, there's a center focal point to everything we think, everything we say, and everything we do. It's a thing that pulls everything about us together in a conscious way. You want to take a guess what it is? Any ideas about what that thing might be that coalesces what we think, say, and do with conscious awareness that brings to life intentions with right action in our lives, that thing that is the central focal point of what we do to activate conscious awareness in real time in our lives? Responsibility. Responsibility. That's the word. We take responsibility, and the words that have come up this week everywhere I've looked is radical responsibility. Okay, radical responsibility. I have heard that word for a couple of weeks now. The universe is showering us with that idea, and it's a timely idea. And so I researched this idea of radical responsibility because it's everywhere. And I found Jean-Paul Sartre. I found a supreme existentialist, okay, who said humans are condemned to be free. Humans are condemned to be free. And it means that radical responsibility is the only way to achieve humanness, right? To achieve a humanity. And anything less than complete dedication to being alive in every single moment, radically responsible, is what Jean-Paul Sartre calls living in bad faith. Living in bad faith. Right? And in his view, human life is a matter of living in good faith. And this word faith just stands out, doesn't it? We live with faith in who we really are. And just like our liberties, our freedoms blooming into our conscious awareness, so too does faith that creates our remembrance of who we really, really are. Does that make sense, friends? And that means we live radically responsible for how we dispatch our lives, right? We can't get away from the human requirement to choose responsibility in our thinking, our words, our deeds. And, it's easy to see why, right? Since we are spirits in human bodies, and spirit is true to one key thing before anything else. Okay, spirit is born of a guiding principle that holds a whole cosmos together, or without it, tears it all apart. Okay, something we've forgotten, something stolen from us, something that feels foreign to us much of the time. Right? Something a galaxy of alliance brothers and sisters have worked so hard to return to us. What is that thing that spirits are born of? Spirits were born to be free. Spirits were born to be sovereign. Above all else, it is the way of God, friends. It is the means of source consciousness. Our spirits must be free or fade in its spark. Do we see that? Our spirits must be free or fade in its spark. Therefore, our bodies, who host what must have liberty, what must find a way to ensure it, and responsibility is the key. Do we understand that? We are component parts from the ethereal inside, a material plane that causes us confusion in many, many ways. And we know this, but the confusion is clearing, friends. Right? And as the ethereal inside the material that is the body, spirit inside the body, we have to ensure sovereign spirits a home through a radical sense of responsibility. Do we see that? Are we radically responsible for what we allow ourselves to think, to say, to do? Or are we sabotaging ourselves by relinquishing responsibility? Right? It's something to think about. Responsibility is to choose to flow through uncertainty and to release fear as balanced hearts, detached observers, higher selves able to select how we will create our reality minute by minute. Right? And not have it created upon us by self-sabotaging and self-victimizing choices that we make. It's our lesson to learn without judgment, without blame, without shame, but with high anticipation, right, of what it means for us. Because it means that we conceive of the idea that existence precedes essence. And that's something Henry David Thoreau would say, which Jean-Paul Sartre would agree with, right? Existence has to precede essence, right? Which is to say, I am that I am. before energy formed matter, and that we choose to live deliberately, remembering who we really are by working it out through the choices we make that enlighten us and liberate us. And we stop living lives of quiet desperation, to coin a phrase, because we have one thing promised to us as the spark of creation, right? And that is our sovereignty. And in our case, it is ours to reclaim right here, right now, in the dawning of a new age. It's our responsibility to reclaim it as a humanity and the spirit evolution of humanity. Does that make sense, friends? We own our lives, don't we? We own our lives. Nobody else does. We're learning that now. We're remembering what that means. It's what human freedom means. We own our lives. Every part of it. Every part of it. And what does that mean? It means the idea of having the radical responsibility of owning 100% of the reality we create. All of it, 100% of our reality. And how do we do that? Is it worth contemplating, maybe? I hope we do. Sovereignty is a sum game, friends, of 100%. Sovereignty is a sum of 100%. Our sovereign boundaries, contemplated together in a unified way, right, in a unified field, has to fit into the ratio of a unified whole. That's our flow, our cosmic flow, right? That 100% as a total of what unifies us and animates us and drives us and causes us to pause and ask, is this good and right for our sovereignty? Is this what we should do, even if it's what we can do? Do we see that? These are questions that have doomed ages past, friends, that we dare not take for granted. Because it matters, moving into 250 years of the American dream, of a land of milk and honey, right? A land fixed on one horizon, that place of sovereignty inalienable. So, are we ready to take the reins of our own liberation? It's coming fast, friends. Anything less than 100% effort won't do it. Right? Sovereignty is the sum of 100% of all of us, the sum of us all. Starting again as a new age, and ready to be radically responsible for what comes next in these exciting times. Right? As things are continuously revealed, day after day, we are learning more. More disclosure is coming. greater liberties are there on that beautiful horizon, right? Are we ready? Are we ready to be responsible for creating what comes next? And I have been noticing on something of a different topic. I've been noticing a peculiar thing lately. It's a trend that has sort of formed over the last year or so. And it speaks to the grooming and the guiding of a new social order that's sort of unfolding in the background of our social and economic environments in the world. I wonder if you have noticed the same thing as well. I have noticed a very strong trend in the uptick of teenagers in the workforce. Teenagers and very young adults are out in full force in the workforce now. And that is a new thing. I mean, that's very, very new. I can remember for at least a decade and probably more, at least a decade, this young age group has been noticeably absent in the job market. I mean, teens just have not been working, and now they are. And this is a real change in the social construction of our reality, along with many, many other changes. And it feels like the trend is by design. And there are a lot of other trends worth noticing too. And I wonder if you are noticing trends in the social construction of the reality around you. What's going on behind the scenes? The crafters of a new economy and a new society. In the evolved workforce that we're seeing. And it's something to note. I know that for at least the last decade, employees in retail and food services especially have been career adults who sort of land at a minimum wage job and they sort of stay there. But things are really changing. And I'm mentioning this because at some point, we are going to want to take the reins of development that steer the human experience. We're going to want to take those reins back for ourselves. Are we prepared to view the world from a higher altitude and a grander scale? And with a fuller expression of our higher desires as higher selves sharing this physical experience, are we prepared to create society and communities within society and governance and economies? And all of these aspects of a new Earth experience, are we prepared to put these things together in universal goals for the benefit of humanity? One day, we'll be Terrans. Imagine that. All of us together on the galactic stage will be a collective of unified peoples sharing the name of a home world that we love. Imagine that. Are we ready to step radically responsibly into such a reality? And what that means is we are taking on, all of us, new roles for ourselves and for the reality that we want to create. Right? It's very, very exciting if we are ready for that and if we have the grand anticipation of what that really means as co-creators of a new reality in a beautiful place we like to daydream of as New Earth. So, you know, we have not worked with a Dixit card lately. And, you know, maybe today's topic sort of lends itself to a little delving into the subconscious suitcases that are stowed away in our minds. What do you say we do a Dixit card here as we finish our time together? And let's sort of see what we get into. For those who have not worked with Dixit cards before, we like to use the provocative kinds of images on a Dixit card that allow the subconscious mind to sort of talk with us about what we're imagining, right? We're creating something of a free association, I guess you would say, with the images that we are working with, and they prompt us to sort of experience our creative natures for a little while and allow what might be subconscious ideas to flow into our awareness, right? And, you know, we can even extend the exercise by allowing the associations to kind of continue to manifest throughout our week, right? If we catch ourselves thinking about the Dixit card we work with and making connections about things that might pop into our mind, the subconscious continues to work that way, you know. So if you've not tried a Dixit card before with us, maybe give it a try today. It's super fun and it's super revealing. At times especially, it can be super revealing. Dixit cards were designed for the Dixit board game, right? And the Dixit board game was created by French child psychiatrist Jean-Louis Roubira. And it's a game of imagination is how it's described, and free association, right? With a lot of imagery that allows a lot of creative free association. So many of us like to use our notebooks to record our activities and, you know, make any notes that we like to get in our notebooks about our experience. But anything to write on and anything to write with will do. And if we're not at a table, we can always use the exercise as a meditation of sorts. And I'll let you decide how to approach your participation in that way. So as we begin, let's sit back and relax, and I will share the images on one Dixit card that I've chosen for today. Now, as I describe the images, just allow yourself to experience them without trying to control anything, right? So we don't have to try to control what comes up into the conscious mind. We're just going to allow ourselves to become the observer of our thoughts and our imaginings. And we are allowing what arises just to arise. And we can make notes of things that come up. There is no judgment. There is no holding back. We're only observers, right? And so, if you're ready, here's our card for today, our Dixit card for today. Okay, are we ready? We're going to sit back and relax. We can close our eyes if we want. And we are going to imagine this card into our minds as a full image as I describe it. Okay? All right, here's our card. for today. Now, imagine that the backdrop for this card is a starry sky, a deep, dark, star-filled sky. Right? That's the backdrop of what we are imagining today. And the card is filled with stars in the background of this picture. And in the forefront is a crystal ball, a large crystal ball sitting in the center of a small round table. And nothing else is on the table, right? Nothing else is on the table. And the crystal ball is filled with white clouds. Okay? White clouds are rolling around inside the crystal ball, forming and reforming as clouds do. And there's something inside the clouds. What is that? What is that inside the crystal ball? What do you see? Well, swimming at the bottom of the crystal ball is a little goldfish, a very golden goldfish. And this goldfish is happily swimming around in the clouds of the crystal ball. Do we see that? And there's a chair behind the crystal ball. It's a chair at the table. Do you notice the chair? And in the chair is a cat. The cat's attention is fixed on the crystal ball. And the cat is hunched over with its paws high above its head as it stands over the crystal ball. The cat's eyes are large with surprise and intense concentration. See the cat's eyes? So record what impressions you get from the scene. What thoughts are coming in? What emotions are you feeling? How is the mind translating what you're imagining? Take a minute and fully experience the scene. And when you have, we can decide to remember the scene in our mind's eye so that we can return to it anytime we want to this week. And now we can decide to leave the image and come back to the room we're in and open our eyes. So, were there things that came up unexpectedly for you? I'm wondering if you recognize the cat in the scene as a cat you might know. What attachments might there be for the cat Cats are often considered spiritual animals, right? And historically, they are often seen as magical creatures. I'm wondering if that came through in some way. I'm wondering if the starry night created some kind of emotional pull. And I'm wondering if the fish and the cat belonged in your starry night. Or maybe something else belonged better. So I sure am glad that you decided to join in that exercise together. Let it work through this week and maybe be open to what else might arise from that exercise. And I want to thank you for playing along, friends. It's always a good activity to invite our subconscious to move up into our awareness. We always learn things that maybe we didn't realize was down there in the suitcases that we keep hidden too often. And so it's always a good opportunity to reach in and pull out some of the subconscious that's down there and pull it into the light and examine and take a look at what might be there. And I'm so glad that you participated with me today. But now it's time for me to go home. Off the playground we go, friends. And I want to thank you so much for being with me today. And thank you too, BBS, for being here with us. We love you so much, BBS. And so, everybody, let's remember to give generously in the BBS funding drive this week. And I am certain great gratitude goes out to those of you who can. And we're all grateful to have a platform like BBS to serve us and to let us meet together and enjoy our Sunday afternoons. And so I can't wait for the next time we're together on the playground. So until next time.
Time to head home, friends. Thanks for being a part of today's journey. We'll see you back on the playground next Sunday at 1 p.m. Central Time on bbsradio.com. Make sure to subscribe if you enjoyed the show. Find us on Telegram and X to share your insights on topics today. Your input heals the child in us all.